read from verse 21. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.' Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, and not as their teachers of the law. I had no intention this morning to read from Matthew 7. I had a different plan in mind all this week about what I might say to you. And I got up this morning, and I couldn't get peace with it. So, we're in Matthew 7. And I tried to speak to you last week about obedience to the will of God. And the reality that that might be, at times, something that doesn't thoroughly thrill your heart, but you'll always find satisfaction in obeying his will. And Jesus finishes his longest recorded sermon, and in it he's covered the Beatitudes, being salt and light, the upholding and fulfillment of the law and prophets, anger, lust, divorce, oaths, retaliation, loving your enemies, giving to the needy, prayer, fasting, proper treasure, anxiety, judging others, asking God, doing to others what you'd like to be done to you, the wide and narrow gate, fruitfulness and its proofs, and knowing Christ. And he says, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise builder. And anyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't put them into practice is like a foolish builder. The crowds have been amazed at his teaching. He's speaking with authority. It's different than what they're used to. They're impressed by this. But Jesus' view is it's application, not appreciation, that matters. It's not just that you hear what he has to say. It's not that you recognize that it might have some value in the world. It's not that you acknowledge that it's good that makes the difference. It's that you do what he says that matters. The issue isn't understanding. Both builders hear the word. The issue isn't that those of us here on a Sunday morning who gather around the word of God are wise builders because we're here on Sunday morning. The issue is, have you done something with what he said? Have you applied what he told you to your life? And I'm going to suggest to you, Jesus didn't decide at the end of the Sermon on the Mount to bring great revelation about building practice. He wasn't there and he thought, oh, and just by the way, those of you who've been building houses, stop doing it on sand. It would be really helpful if you put a solid foundation under the house and that would bring stability to it. This is a really good idea. That's not the issue. The issue is many of us know what he says is good. We're amazed at his teaching. We're aware that it matters. But we know something to be good, yet we don't do it. We know it to be true, but we don't do it. I find myself in agreement with what he's got to say. Well, that's really good. I find myself at times thinking of all the people who should hear this and the difference it would make for their lives. Oh, wouldn't it be great if so-and-so knew this? But in the moments where I know I should do differently, in the moments where I'm reminded that that's not what he said, that's not what he taught, Josh, that's not what he had to offer, that's not what he invites you into. My tendency is to defend me, not align myself to what he's asked of me. My tendency is to tell myself, but Lord, this is why it's different for me. I know. My anger does not lead to righteousness. But you don't understand what they did. What matters is that you do what he says. And I appreciate that for the vast majority of you, this is not revelation. That the story of the wise and foolish builder is something that you've grown up with since being quite small. I used to sing songs about it in primary school. I was thinking about that and thought, that's weird. But I used to sing songs about it. The wise man built his house upon the rock. Wise man. And the house, da 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 da. Yep. The rains came down and the floods went whoosh. Yep. You know it. The familiarity of it. Sometimes it's thoroughly unhelpful, though. Those of you who've been around a while will have heard me speak to you about this before. Because I have a concern. I get up and talk to you every week about what this says. It doesn't matter if you don't do anything with it. In fact, it might even be bad for you. Luke 6, verse 46, Jesus is recorded as saying, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid foundations on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was built well. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment that torrent struck the house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. Laying foundations requires work. He dug down deep. It takes something from you. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 6, Paul writes to Timothy and says, train yourself to be godly. Train yourself to be godly. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, Paul expresses it in this way. I strike a blow to my body, and I make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. I strike a blow to my body, and I make it my slave. I'm doing something about what he said here. Because I don't want to lose out on what he has for me. But foundations often, normally, aren't visible. Both of them got houses, right? Both of them built houses. And I think, at times, I'm more concerned about my appearance to you than the stability of my structure. I want you to see my house. And my house will go up quicker if I don't put a foundation down. Did any of you ever see the program Extreme Makeover Home Edition? 7 days, they build a house. I spent some time early this morning reading a thread of various people who were gifted those homes. Because it looked glorious. In 7 days, they built the house. People talk about the fact the sinks weren't plumbed in. They couldn't use the toilets because the drainage didn't work properly. They were going back saying, here's a list of issues with this house you gave us. And the response was, well, you sort it out. And I think sometimes we're a bit like that. As long as we look pretty for the cameras and everybody who's looking in on our lives, we'll worry about the structure at another point. He knows. Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? That's a very clear discrepancy, isn't it? The issue isn't, why do you call me Lord? It's, why do you call me Lord, yet actually it's not reflected in the way that you live? And we know, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But that confession is meant to be a reflection of how you live. You're meant to call him Lord and do what he says. You're meant to recognize his lordship and so as a result follow after him. You're meant to call him Lord not so you get into heaven, but because he is Lord. And his lordship matters to you in the way in which you live. He knows. And I have said to you again and again, but for whatever reason this morning, I'm saying it again. You can fool me. Your house can look really pretty. You won't ever fool him. And the reality is, when the rain comes, your fooling me won't be worth anything. It won't be worth anything. But I said to you a few moments ago, I thought there was a potential that you being here, hearing the word of God, not doing anything with it, is actually damaging. Let me read to you from James 1. Those of you who know me reasonably well will know I think this is the scariest verse in the Bible. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. That's James 1, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. This isn't just about other people. I want you to try and... there is a reality that at times we put on a bit of a performance for other people, right? It might not have been the best week. You might not have had a wonderful time. You might be feeling a bit rough. But you don't want to embarrass yourself or your family. You don't want to make a scene. You're not trying to cause too much drama. So you smile and you tell everybody everything's fine. And that's for their sake, but you know internally, that's not the reality. What happens when you deceive yourself? What happens when you deceive yourself? Because at that point, you don't know what the truth is. Don't be hearers of the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. It doesn't matter that you know what it says, because actually you can hear it and as a result make yourself believe something about you that's not true. What matters is your application of it. James 4 and verse 17 says, if anyone knows what they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. If anyone knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. There's a reality for me that I'm very often aware of the good I ought to do. I'm 28. All of those 28 years, I've spent going to church regularly. I've heard an awful lot of sermons. I've sat through Sunday school. I've been in Bible classes in Campaigners. I've been in Bible classes in the Boys Brigade. I've been part of youth groups. I've heard people tell me all sorts of stuff about what this says. I spend time regularly reading it for myself. But there's this reality that I get to a point where I can appreciate it but not implement it. And some of you are very kind. You'll tell me, oh, it was a lovely word today. Oh, it was a good meeting this morning. Listen, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I want you to have a good time when you're here. I want you to hear the word of God clearly and encourage you, enrich you, and refresh you. But what matters is that you do something with it. What matters is that you do something with it. Because otherwise, you're in sin. And the potential that I deceive myself, because I come to church, I hear the word, I know how to apply it to everybody else's life, but I don't know what I look like. I don't know, I have looked perfectly into the law and walked away forgetting what I look like. I want to do what it says. I want to do what it says. I don't want to look at myself and not know me. I don't want to have an opinion of myself that's not accurate. I don't want to be deceived about me. And obedience provides stability. When the rain came, one house is still standing while the other isn't. Let me try and explain why I think I'm talking to you about this. I am hungry for God to move in our midst. I am hungry for the Spirit of God to fall in this place, to touch our lives and to impact us. And I'm asking Him to do it. But there's this principle I understand from Scripture. That if you're faithful with what you have, He will give you more. You've been faithful with a little, I'll bless you much. You were entrusted with some, and you did something with it. I don't know if I'm faithful with what He's already given me. See, I'm quite excited about the fact that God might speak to me wandering down the street, instruct me to go to this place or that, reveal to me a word of knowledge for somebody and invite me to go and minister to them. And I assume my obedience in that. But I haven't done what he explicitly has said in his word that can't be disputed. Why on earth would I think I'm going to be obedient in that moment when I know the good I ought to do and don't do it anyway? Is that harsh? See, I would quite like to see lame people walk again, the blind receive their sight, dead people rise. But I know, without a shadow of a doubt, I have a responsibility to love my neighbor. I could question in my mind the still small voice of God that leads me from place to place. But I have no dispute for the fact he tells me to pray for those who are my enemies, to bless those who curse me. And I assume my obedience in the supernatural without doing the things he's already told me to do. I don't think that's realistic. And the Spirit comes at Pentecost to empower God's people to do what he's instructed them to do. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. It's for purpose. It's empowering them to do what he's asked of them. It isn't so they can stay locked away in the upper room and go, look at your fire in your head. Oh, this is wild, isn't it? I wonder what language you're speaking. It's meant to spill out in the streets. It's meant to impact the lives of other people. It is so that they can be witnesses and make a meaningful mark on the earth. But they have to do what he says. When Jesus tells them the Spirit's coming, he says he will remind you of everything I've said. John 16, he says, I have so much more to tell you, more than you can bear. But when the Spirit comes, he will lead you in all truth. So I'm hungry for God to do something amongst us. But I think I need to first ask myself, am I obedient to what he's saying to me? I have again and again said this thing to you. I'll keep saying it. Anything I have to justify to myself is probably sin. Any behavior in my life that I have to explain to myself why it's right is probably not. The absence of doing some stuff in my life that I have to tell myself is okay might not be. Because His Spirit lives within me. It convicts me of sin. And the truth is, some of us have spent a long time silencing that voice so we can live according to how we'd like. I think that's an issue. I think that's an issue if you want to see God move. I think that's an issue if you want to be filled with His Spirit and walking in His purpose. Galatians 5, verse 13 says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other." I can't expect to be filled with the Spirit and continue to do whatever I want to. I can't expect to be filled with the Spirit and live however I please. And Pentecost next Sunday, and I would love God to move in power here amongst us, but I'm doing it with an understanding that the expectation is obedience. That the expectation is that you do what He says. That I don't spend my time justifying myself to myself. And we read from Matthew 7 and verse 21. And in those verses, he takes time, Jesus, to explain that miracles, the prophetic, the casting out of demons can all happen not out of right relationship with Him. That's equally scary to me. but I want to do what he says. And some of you have been around church a lot longer than me. You know an awful lot more. And life's challenging and people are difficult. And there are umpteen excuses we can make for ourselves about why this is hard. But my desire is to do what he says. And I am persuaded, and you can disagree, so that's fine, that if my desire is to do what he says, he will empower me to do it. That if my longing is to walk in all that he's called me to, he will give me the strength and grace to do it. That if my heart is aligned with his, he will empower me to walk out the things he's called me to. And maybe part of my challenge is that actually I don't want to do some of the stuff he wants me to do. And maybe the reason that actually we don't feel as refreshed as we might is because we don't desire the same thing as him as sometimes. And we want to explain to him why he's wrong about what should happen in that scenario. And actually, what I need to do is do what he says and trust that he is faithful to strengthen me, to sustain me, to uphold me as I walk with him. So that wasn't what I planned on saying. But can I ask you, if you are serious about more of him, being spiritually refreshed, if you're hungry, would you think about your obedience to what he's called you to what he's already said, to what that looks like? Because it matters. And maybe part of my self-deception has been, I've been crying whilst deliberately ignoring what he said and assuming it's his fault and not mine. I don't know. I'll leave you with a thought. Should we stand together and worship?